All right. We've been looking, of course, at the Sermon on the Mount. We've covered the Beatitudes. Y'all were some slow listeners there, but we finally got through it. We recognize after that, he told us we are to be disciples of this world in the sense that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we're to let our light shine. Jesus talks about some problems they incurred, and that was indeed the Pharisees and their teachers, that their righteousness, that those within the citizens of the kingdom, their righteousness surpassed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And that way, you could enter the kingdom of heaven. If it didn't surpass it, you would not enter the kingdom, of course. And he talks about some relationships within ourselves that he talked about with them. He talked about anger and murderous speech and those things we need to control, and that within ourselves. And he talked about lust and how they use these things concerning adultery, but how we have to be careful for that look of lust, and how we should indeed not be people who would treat our mates falsely, and vows, and that our word, that we should be people of integrity as well in these things. Now we come to another section here in verse 38, and he talks about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we're ending a section here where he's kind of dealing with the evil of others, you know, and challenges us how we deal with others in that respect. But still, again, it's a challenge upon ourselves and how we should act in that respect. So let's look, if we would, at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. You have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Now, in a sense, this is probably the hardest thing that we're going to read, in a sense, for me to deal with, okay? And some things that I probably struggle and fight with, and maybe more so it maybe a male thing, if you'll allow me to say that, because we are going to be talking about vengeance, but also we have a side of pride in us as well that we might struggle with in these things. But if you would, look at your lessons, and we're going to go to Exodus chapter 22. We got here three times the ancients were told an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we'll just read one of these. That'll suffice. Exodus 21. 22 through 25, I believe I've got there. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Now we see right here at the beginning, I've entitled this Individual Retaliation, as far as the lesson's title. And key to be noted here that these verses, if you look at all of them, were not talking about individual retaliation. What were they talking about?
Civil justice.
Civil justice. And that's exactly what they're talking about, the law. And another point here that the punishment should fit the crime. Okay, and what we see here is we think of like lynch mobs and those type things. You know, if you're like me, you love westerns, and I know everybody in here loves westerns, you know. But anyway, you always see that where the people just get angry, and sometimes you haven't looked into the situation completely and everything, and there's injustice as well. So we have to be careful about those things concerning civil law. Let's see. The New Testament teaches governing authorities were established to punish the evildoer. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 4. A little closer here too. All right. Let's go back to verse 2 there. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear, but for good behavior, but for the evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. And let's go to 1 Peter. I think we'll have time. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 13 through 14, because an important point here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to be to a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. So we see here God set up this way by which the government is to take care of this, governing authorities, and this is the way we're to have justice. And God set nations up in this way. Now we could take off on this and, you know, go on another stem where, you know, God, I would think, expects nations to govern justly as well. And we could talk about how God has taken, you know, vengeance upon nations in the past for not having taken care of the weak, not having taken care of the widows and the orphans and those type things. And that's part of the reason that Israel fell, and Judah as well. Look at Acts chapter 25 in understanding this as far to what point. And this is something we read earlier, life for life in the Old Testament, when we talked about eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And Paul is somewhat in agreement here in Acts chapter 25, verse 11. If then I am a wrongdoer, and here he's before Festus saying this thing, and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die, but if none of these things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. We see here that Paul recognized there were things that were worthy of death. He at least agreed with that point. And so with these points, what we're seeing here again, as in all these points, that Jesus isn't going back and saying that the Old Testament is wrong. He's not establishing some new law. Okay? But what we're saying here, he's in agreement with that. Again, he's talking about the Pharisees and their miscarriage of justice. And concerning what we've read here, you know, and I'm going to use this term legalistic, because they're taking this law and applying it in a way and misapplying it to their advantage. You know, but are we much different than them today? How often do we say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, out of a vengeful spirit? So, you know, this one, I think, hits home a little more so to me than some of the others. Rocky.
I don't know if you're going to get to this in your lesson. I think maybe you are on the material. So if the government's been set up to take care of injustice, and so we who are Christians, so we have been wronged. And I think here Jesus is not telling Christians to, just get beat up and don't seek justice and... they slap you, slap you one side, we'll just let them come. And it's, we have every right to appeal to the justice system.
Appeal to Caesar.
And and let them take care of it. So yeah. this is not teaching not to do that.
Right. It's just like Rod said.
Some people will read that and they say, well, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, kind of a misinterpretation.
Yeah.
So it's important that we be able to explain that to
them. Exactly. But I agree with that point, and you're so right, and we're not to be passive. Here he appealed to Caesar in that. But I don't want to spend the time, and this is where I waver or not. I agree 110% with what you say, Rocky, if there's such a thing. But I don't want to lose the fact of what we're talking about here. We are people who are to be meek, and there's times we need to just turn our back and allow certain things to happen. And we are allowed, and I don't want to go beyond, hopefully we'll have time to cover this, but there are times we should allow ourselves to even be wrong, okay? When we get to 2 Corinthians. Yes, sir?
You know, if you look forward to the times that they're going to be coming into when, after the day of Pentecost, when the persecution begins.
Yeah, right.
Then this is going to mean a lot more. And if you go back and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and you know, when we were reading there a minute ago,
yes,
drop down to verse 20, it says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, patiently endure it, this finds favor with God.
It does.
So again, I think it's looking forward to, you know, okay, he's talking about the kingdom and those who are part of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, and looking forward to the persecution that's about to come. And that they're going to have to endure that and endure it with grace and trust in God.
Yes, sir. If you know, I don't know that that's wholly what it means, but definitely I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Yes, sir.
Certainly there's an indication that Jesus is looking towards the hearts of people to be like God, to say their disposition towards those that mistreat them is that they still wish them good.
Exactly.
That, you know, yes, you're treating me like this, but I'm not thinking evil things about you. I want what is good for you, so I will do this in hopes to maybe break your heart or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had a...
Going back to the idea of love your neighbor.
Exactly.
And love your
enemies. No, y'all are so right. Y'all should be up here teaching this lesson, every one of you. I mean, there's a brother in here, and I don't want to call him by name. His wife done him wrong. And he'd come to me to talk to me, and I was getting a little upset and about, you know, the way he was doing and certain things. But then he just got talking about, well, I hope she straightens up and, you know, her soul is saved and she'll repent. And I thought, wow. You know, and, you know, sometimes I deal with a little bit of anger issues. You know, I'm one of the people who gets like that. But usually I get happy like I got mad. But certain things, you know, are... a little bit more touch home. You're right, Rocky. We may not get to that point. But no, sir. Rocky's exactly right. There is a certain amount of people who read this in passive, I guess is the word, passivity. I don't know if I'll just be making something up here. But there's something that means that people just read this and just completely just, you know, turn the other cheek about everything. We don't want to get into that. But then I don't want to get on the other extent where we're not doing what, as our Gary said right there, we're, you know, and we don't want to, we want to find out what this means and stick within what it does mean. And y'all help me if I venture off or something like this, and then if I get off on one side or the other, I'm going to try to represent both sides fairly. Anyway, what we see is the Pharisees here had done some injustice, and rather than allowing the civil courts to deal with personal hurts, personal problems, they use this passage here to allow them, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, to allow them to have personal vengeance. Okay? And like I say, it might be a point of pride. Vengeance, I look it up in my New Webster's, damage or harm done to another in retaliation for damage or harm to oneself or an associate. Okay, and I like to bring in that an associate. Sometimes we forget this. And like I say, I like Western Justice movies. I like them movies where, you know, the guy pulls out the gun and shoots the bad guy and all that stuff and everything. And, you know, and while we was eating, after I said the prayer to me and Elvira, I plugged in Kenny Rogers, Coward of the County, you know, and listened to it. And, you know, anybody know this song? Okay. Anybody not know this song? You don't know this song? You don't know this song? Yeah, well, anyway. I'm sorry. Talks about this boy whose father says, "Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble when you can. If you can, turn the other cheek." No, you won't be weak if you turn the other cheek. Sometimes you got to turn the other cheek to be a man or something like that. I don't know. I got it close anyway. But the point being, his father had done wrong. Okay, and told him don't go down that pathway. Okay, and he's this meek, mild guy, nice, and he goes in there and he's got a girlfriend, and he doesn't have to prove himself to her, and he's just in love with her. And the mean old Gatlin boys, three of them, come in and take advantage of her. They rape her in the song, they beat her up, and they do all these things to her, and she's left alive. He comes in and finds her, and what does he do? Instead of going to the police, he goes where the Gatlin boys are at. And he walks in, and he walks up to them, and they start calling him names. And then he starts walking out, and then they call him, "Look, old Yeller's running." And he locks the door. And when he locks that door, oh boy, you know, in my heart I've always been. And what happens after that? I love that song, you know, but for the wrong reasons. Because what he done was a spirit of vengeance, okay? Now, to get back to what Rocky's point, if he would have been protecting her or... If I don't know if that was totally Rocky's point, but anyway, I'm going a little bit, or you know, restraining the other guys from sin, if you'll allow me to say that, you know, that'd have been one thing. But of course, that's not what the song is about, and you know, we got to be careful about what it is, what we're considered as vengeance in our heart, as Craig said. Let me see where I'm at here. I kind of lost myself. We're only on point two. Okay, our reaction to do not resist an evil person. Now, I'm just going to go through these, and hopefully y'all have looked at these, because there's just sayings from each one. And I want to say this, and this is in definite agreement with what Rocky was saying. These questions are not to be used as, and what Jesus says here, like a... not to resist an evil person, you know, turning the right and the left, and let's get these two, you know, your cheek, turn the cheek, let's put these two together, if you'll allow me. These are not absolutes. We're not taking these as universal absolutes in that sense. You know, you might have questions, and we've done talked about self-defense. We might talk about war, but if we talked about these things too much, we wouldn't talk about what the passages are talking about. And hopefully within time we'll see how to relate to this, and hopefully we'll get close to the end. But James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:9 both teach us to resist the devil. Okay? And what did Jesus say? Not to resist an evil person. Okay? Ephesians 16 teaches us to resist the evil day. Now, Paul resisted Peter. If you'll allow me to use the word resisted, it says opposed. Okay, I think we can understand the relationship there. And he resisted him, as it said, face to face because of his stance. And Galatians 2, and we'd have to go back to Acts and how he sided with the Jewish brethren in a sense that wasn't proper. And Acts, and hopefully we know our book of Acts to be able to talk about these, or we spend quite a time here, quite a bit of time. Acts 13, verse 8, Elymas, this sorcerer, was resisted by both Paul and Barnabas, even to the point that they struck him what? Blind, okay? And so they resisted evil, okay, in that respect, okay? Now, we don't want to just totally do away with the meaning of our passage with this. On this, there's a lot more than just, you know, of course, the devil resisting devil, resisting sin, okay? And somebody can make the point that Paul was correcting his brother. But this gets back to the point which Rocky was making. We're not just passive. We're not just letting everything go, okay? And of course, Elymas, of course, was resisting them in their work and their cause of spreading the gospel. But we don't want to misunderstand what we're saying here. And like I say, I don't want to spend time talking so much about the war and the self-defense things, because I do believe, personally, a Christian can go to war. I do believe, yes, personally, and I've got some verses that a person can has the right to defend themselves. Okay, let's see. Where are we at here? And here's what I've got wrote here to be in your lesson. It seems what our Lord is teaching us, that when someone directs harmful action toward us, we must not try to respond with a spirit of vengeance. Okay? And that's what I'm gathering from this, from taking scriptures and, you know, applying them, the New Testament scriptures, with things that might seem unclear to us. But we got to remember, Jesus has used these illustrations and made some implications here in these last, Matthew chapter 5. And he's continuing to do this. And he's talking about the Pharisees. We have to understand what the Pharisees were doing here, and using this for a spirit of vengeance. Now look at Romans chapter 12. And we'll go ahead and read from verse 17, because that's the last verse here. And I may not get as far as I like. And y'all go ahead, like I say, go ahead and if you got a point to make, please go ahead. And what did I say? I know I didn't say Romans chapter 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Okay. I said, that don't work. Okay. This pretty much sums it up. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Now, how is that written in your Bible?
It's all caps.
It's all caps. And what does that mean?
It means it's...
Yeah. So we see it's from the Old Testament. And so here we find the Old Testament, New Testament, of course, in compliance. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. And I believe this last verse is the what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. And you know, it's often, if you're like me, boy, you wanna just give back what's been given you. And up to this time, I've never had to put a fist on anybody, but it isn't because that I haven't wanted to. I hope, you know, in that I can restrain myself, but there's other things, you know, what we think, and it goes beyond that. You know, I know there's times I'll just get into it, like, you know, you're going down the highway, you know, okay, well, I haven't hit anybody, but I guarantee you I've gotten mad at some people driving into town. Ooh-wee. You know, I think Elvira and I, right at our little intersection right there at Crestline, where you come out on the Kroger right there, it's one of the worst intersections. More wrecks right there once they put that Kroger store up, because that's the only place, and the people coming out of the parking lot and everything. And you know me, I'm a big person about, if you're gonna make a left turn, please use your blinker so I can make my left turn to get out there too, and so we'll have some idea. And when they don't do it, it's my job in life to let them know that they didn't have their blinker on, because I turn mine on and I do this as I'm going, you know, as I'm pulling out. Where was yours? You know. Now, anyway, I think y'all understand where I'm going with this. And and maybe because we've been there as well. So these are some things I need to work on. So I'll just say that. 1 Peter 3:9. We haven't read that. 1 Peter 3:9. Or have we read that?
No, we haven't.
Okay, thank you. Not returning evil. I'm fixing to tell off on myself. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We have read throughout the Beatitudes, all these things are a blessing. You do a good action, God is going to bless you. And in this we see that we're not to return evil for evil. Okay. Insult for insult. Oh my goodness. Did he have to go and say that? And this is another place I got to watch myself. I mean, now, if y'all hear me and Steve, we're playing, you know. But I got to work myself because I'm quick-witted about bad things. I'm slow-witted about things, you know, that I wish I was smart about, you know. But, oh well, that's the way it works. But I got to watch that wit and be careful in that respect. Most of the time, everybody understands when I'm playing, but I have to be careful. Somebody may not know me. And then again, it can work someday where somebody really upsets me, and I might lash back on them with that wit, and it might not be so witty, but it can be a put-down. Yes, sir?
John, just another passage. We don't need to turn there, familiar with it. Just to balance the point I've been making about not being passive. Yeah, we are not to return evil for evil. We know Matthew 18. And the brother sins against you. What do we do?
That's exactly right.
We go and tell this. You know, so the key thing is evil for evil. So if you sin against you, it's of such a nature that, you know, it's an issue for you. You have the right to go tell them.
Why do you go to that brother, though?
For the purpose of getting them on the right track for
right.
the soul.
You because love you love.
The good. There's the good.
Yeah, it's the evil and the good. When we're doing it for good. Exactly, exactly right. When we're doing it for the good of the brother, and make sure we're doing it for the good of the brother, and there's another way, we can sometimes be just saying, well, hey, I know this too. So we have to watch our attitude and our heart and all of this. Yes, sir?
Talking about vengeance, you know, if you watch kids, I had two brothers, so when you hit one of them,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to repay. But, you know, I'm going to hit just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit harder when I punch you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't deserve it. And he does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it escalates that way. It's not, you know, true justice.
Exactly.
I mean, we're human and we're,
you know, I got hit him a little bit hard. Yeah. And that's
the way we are. We tend to say,
well,
okay, I didn't deserve it. I got the wrong deal. So I'm
going to
just take a little bit extra
speed. Yeah. Well, with me, it's something that, you know, and I'm gonna go another level. How about the blue and the white collar worker? Now I'm the, you know, blue collar. I'm not smart enough to wear a white collar. But, you know, we just sit there and go at each other for a lot of times. And you know, sometimes things are said that are hurtful, or maybe I might start a joke with a friend of mine, but then somebody over there might be listening and he jumps in and now it's not a joke anymore. But, you know, so we got to be careful, just insult for insult, and even before we're getting to that, just have to stop, consider our considerations. But that's getting off track. I'm sorry.
John,
yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
In John 18,
yes, ma'am.
Jesus is the one that is in the arena. He's being questioned. He's been arrested. Huh? And he's being questioned by the high priest and before the council. And in verse 19, the high priest questions Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answers, you know, spoken openly. So he gives an answer. And then Jesus asks, why do you question me? Question those who heard what I spoke to them. Behold, these know what I said. And when he had said this, one of the officers standing by Jesus gave Jesus a blow, saying, is that the way you answer the high priest? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken wrongly, bear witness of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me? This is the Lord, and he's standing before the high priest, and he's speaking. They strike him. Mm-hmm. You know, he could call angels down. He could burn them up right there. You know, but he didn't. But he is giving defense, and he's saying, why did you do this? You know, he just didn't turn the other cheek at that point. And I think your point about maybe it was good for them to know this and to question them, to put the guilt back on them, you know. So here the Lord decided to give a defense and to say, why do you strike me?
That's exactly right.
And it's the high priest.
Exactly right. And, you know, Linda sometimes knows how to take me to my next point when I need to get to it. And it's turn the other cheek. You see point three here, and I've got those verses listed. And that's exactly right. You know, our Lord, who tells us to turn the other cheek, he put up a defense, didn't he? Okay? Now, But then again, I don't want to take... I made a statement earlier in this class. Everything that is sounds extreme to us, and we're going to sit here, and I don't want to say explain away, but I want to say we're trying to come to the meaning of what these things Jesus said is by comparing it with the Scripture. Jesus went above and beyond. Okay? He allowed himself to suffer all these things for our stead. But in that instance, as she showed us here, that he was trying to show this man that he was doing a miscarriage of justice, and he was in a point of authority, if I understand correctly, and he shouldn't be doing this as a high priest. Okay? If that's a good way to say that, but also shows us we have rights, and we are allowed to use our rights. As Rocky said, Paul, you know, he appealed to Caesar, and he's got some other things listed here, and we might just mention some things as we go through here, and here's one of them. Jesus told these disciples to go and buy a sword. For time's sake, we'll just say that and mention. What was the purpose? Were they going to carve meat with it? You know, no, not within the context there. It was for self-protection, not to pull out and just whack somebody off at the ear. And I wish we had time to look at that. There, Jesus gives a few reasons when he talks to Peter there about why he should not have done that. But if we'll have time, we'll get to that, but I don't think we have. Notice here my point. Not simply about physical aggression. The strike on the right cheek most likely is a backhand slap, a symbol of an insult. Okay? Now, if I haven't taken that analogy too far, because Jesus did talk about your right eye and, you know, your right hand earlier. So maybe the right cheek is just a point here. But if you understand where I'm using this, is when you hit somebody with your right hand, you hit them in the left cheek. Okay, because they're facing you. And so, but if you backslap them, like you see the movies where the guy wants to duel him or something like that, it's considered as an insult. And has been over time, although we don't do that so much here in America, but it is an older way of saying that. And I mentioned it, not returning an insult for an insult. And I really think strongly that this is one of the main points we're talking about here. How often do we retaliate in that way? As soon as somebody comes up to us and confronts us, and we think, likely because of our pride, that we want to take vengeance upon them, that we want to return an insult back at them, we just feel like we have to. I think Jesus is talking to us to take an insult without retaliation. Whoop-de-doo. Hey, we're citizens of the kingdom. We're blessed. When we ever stop and think about what we have and where we're headed and where that other person's likely headed, if we could just stop and gather ourselves and think of what our Lord's done for us and what He's prepared for us, I think we could just take these in. But often, we're very reactionary. We need to learn self-control. Give your coat also. In Exodus, for time's sake, I hope y'all read these. Exodus 22, 26 through 27, restricted the Israelite from taking a man's outer garment, his coat. Yet Jesus says, if being sued for your, give me your shirt and give me your coat also. And Rocky mentioned earlier, Acts 22. Look at Acts 22. I think we're close to that. Verse 25. Acts 22, verse 25. But when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion, who was standing by, is it lawful for you to scourge me, who is a Roman and uncondemned? Now we know what the situation was here. I hope we all know that he had Roman citizenship. probably, and this might be me interjecting, that's why God was able to use Paul in the way he was in his travels and everything, and it afforded him much more than many of the other apostles, because he had citizenship. He was able to enter into places and not have to have certain problems. But with this, he was able to make this an appeal to law, because he was not, as a Roman citizen, be able to be beaten, to be scourged in this way. And of course, the centurion, questioned him about this and found out, and they became afraid because of what they'd done. So we do have rights. Now I want to back up to some verses here, and just talking about self-defense, and I did want to give that a fair share. Luke chapter 12, we're not too far from there. And Jesus says something here, and I'll probably just say these others in passing. Verse 39, because I forgot to mention these earlier. Jesus, he's given an illustration here, but be sure of this. If the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Now, we want to not take illustrations too far, but Jesus does begin with this verse saying, but be sure of this. Now, how is he going to do it? Just stand outside, please don't come in? I think we can all understand that he was going to use force if he had to. This was his house. Now, there are things that are ours, generally because of our loved ones within him, and we do have a right to have certain things. But at the same time, we're talking about giving your coat also. We have to be, as Christians, okay, devoid of selfish desires. We got to be gentle. We got to be merciful. We got to be peacemakers. We've already learned all this. We'd rather, and listen to what I'm saying, we need to recognize there's times we need to suffer wrong. There's going to be times injustices will come along. And I'm talking about more than just simple persecutions. Turn to, I said 2 Corinthians, it was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. And especially with our brethren here. And just consider this. First Corinthians 6, verse 7. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. And this is just another one of the problems that they had at Corinth. Corinth had many, many problems here. And he says, why not rather be wronged? Well, what does he mean? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your own brethren. There gets to a point where is it that big a deal? Okay? And we're not talking about, where the guy comes up and knocks on your car and he wants money and you happen to notice every intersection they sit at is one where there's a store right on the corner so they can go over and buy their liquor, and maybe I'm wrong to say that, but if I see that, I won't. If they're smoking cigarettes, he's not getting a dime from me. I'm just telling you, that's my way of looking at it. Okay? Neither shall you what? Work. Neither shall you eat. Okay, we all know that. We all pull this one out. But it's a passage and meant for a reason. Okay? But what I think he's talking about here, is more than that. He's going to talk about going the extra mile as well. How about in our attitudes, in the way we speak to people and everything? We knew that under Roman law, what was Roman law? Anybody remember? You had to go what? How far?
A mile.
Okay, if one of their soldiers wanted you to carry their burdens a mile, you had to do it. So Jesus tells you to go how far? 2 miles. Okay? How about next time, you're sitting there and we'll put Tracy on the spot here. And, you're sitting there, you're up in your easy chair, and your wife wants you to, as soon as you kick your shoes off, get up on your easy chair, and she wants something, you say, sure, honey. Anything else you want me to get while I'm up? And you put your shoes back on. Now, I put that on Tracy, not me. And that's because I love Tracy over there, And he's sitting all by himself, and I can outrun him. I believe it's the way we deal with one another and everything, and I think that is what a lot of what he's talking about here. But even beyond that, he goes on, give to those who ask. And I'm somewhat in a rush for time, and that's where we pulled out 2 Thessalonians 3:10, you know, neither shall you work, neither shall you eat. He's not talking about the lazy person and all that, I don't believe. But then we don't want to forget Acts chapter 4. And Barnabas, you know, and do we forget where he got his beginning? You know, we remember all the things he'd done, considering Paul, first traveling with him, and then having taken him to the brethren, to the apostles and everything. But before that, in verse 36 of chapter 4, now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostle, was translated, means son of encouragement, who then owned a tract of land, sold it, and bought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay? Now, we're not preaching communism here. I don't, you know, I believe when Ahab wanted Naboth's garden there, and he got mad and ended up killing Naboth, and, you know, I don't believe he had the right to it. That's not what I'm saying. But how many of us are willing to go that extra mile concerning brethren who are in need, or just people who are in need? And we back this up. Give to those who ask. Go the extra mile. And then, you know, give your coat also. When people are in need, we back up and think, okay, you know, we've got these other passages to show that, you know, Jesus is not going against Old Testament law. He's not, and the New Testament law shows these very things. But do we have a heart, as Craig talked about, a heart of kindness? And like I say, let me see. I think we read, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And then I'll give it to y'all. Y'all got a whole minute, so y'all better be thinking of something to say. But I believe this pretty well sums it up as best as I can understand. And I know I didn't get to cover all this. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. When we stop and consider, God blesses us all with this beautiful day, and we're sitting in this class, and we're with our brethren, and we got the doors open, and how beautifully is poor Pete over there, probably wanting to sneeze like crazy. I forgot about your allergies over there. But point being, God is sending this beautiful weather on everybody out here, and He's blessing everybody and each and every day, and everybody has the opportunity to be saved. He wants and desires all men to be saved. Do we love our neighbor? Do we love, you know, other people who even wish us evil, just as they treated Jesus Christ? Comments? Anybody got a different twist on this or something, or an additional point that might help us with these passages? Yes, sir.
Well, it probably may get into your next lesson because of the next verses that follow and talk about how the Lord sends the rain on. You know, Jesus, like you said, about how His sacrifice and everything, when He came, He sat with tax gatherers, sinners. If He knew what kind of woman, what kind of person this woman is, He wouldn't, touch her. That's who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. We need to have that attitude in ourselves. We look on people's kindness and that.
That's exactly right. All right. Thank y'all. We'll Sunday. Next lesson.